Francesca present Seven Matrimony.
Okay, we're here with... I'm here with, excuse me, Francesca, my lovely wife, to talk about a nice movie about two married people. This is 40. Francesca, you and I are both fans of Judd Apatow for the most part, although I'd say we're probably up and down on his movies. We wouldn't say we're in love with all of them, but I think I told you after I saw this movie that this was probably my favorite one that he had made since Knocked Up. How would you say you feel about it?
Well, what else has he made?
Well, no, it's my favorite one. It's up there for me with Knocked Up. I like it better than The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Funny People.
Yeah. I agree with that assessment. Knocked Up is probably, to me, the one that I like the best. This was a little rambly.
Do you think not quite always on track?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I like Judd Apatow, and I think as a comedian, or as a comedy filmmaker, he's definitely brings, like, more depth and insight than pretty much anyone else who's making comedies right now. So he's kind of a league of his own in that respect. But I think as I was watching this movie, and it was rambling over 2 hours and just so many storylines and characters. Like, I love Chris O'Dowd, but Chris O'Dowd, Jason Segel, that didn't have any business being in that movie.
Like, I did think they were both funny.
They were funny, but they're, like, in terms of, you know,
it was
economy of film,
yeah,
there was just no reason for those two characters to exist. And kind of, and like Lena Dunham, I mean, basically he casts all these people, and it's, you get the sense he wants them to be in the movie, but they are not characters that need to be in the movie at all. I mean, even the whole fact that she has a shop, and, you know, she has a hot young thing, and Charlene Yee, I mean, like...
Oh, Charlene Yee was so funny, though.
She is funny, but that's not
the thing that she was saying? What was the phrase that she kept repeating when she after she was being confronted, and she kept changing it slightly?
Oxycodone, oxykitten,
yeah. It's so weird.
Yes. She's crazy. She's funny. But my point is, it's a lot of fat on a movie, and I left the movie going, like, he just needs to make TV again. If he really wants to explore so many characters.
Good point.
The man needs a series. Give him an hour-long series, and he can populate it with everybody he loves and goes down as many rabbit holes as he wants, and that would be just fine. But, you know, I think this is a good movie. I think, and I hate to do it. I hate to go Sofia Coppola, but I think sometimes maybe he thinks his kids are a little more charming than they actually are.
Oh, Sofia Coppola. No,
a
but
a little bit.
Well, here's what I'll say. I think that the youngest one is not super effective in this movie, and she does come off as like they just picked a kid that they like to put in it. I thought that the older daughter did a pretty good job. I thought that she was actually pretty effective in her performance.
Yes, but then sometimes also I get a sense from her, like, this is a girl who's capital A acting, and you can kind of
a little bit
tell that she's a girl who grew up around actors and is, like, doing actory things as opposed to someone who actually is an actor. Which, I mean, again, like, I like them, and they can land. I just think, in terms of economy of film, again, I think sometimes he dwells on scenes with them longer than is strictly necessary, which you would if it was
worth it to me, though, just for that you had a couple of moments with
Leslie Mann and them,
and it's like
sweet.
only their real mom could ever be
them. I will say, and I my hat is off to Paul Rudd too, like, both waking up and putting their kids to bed, I was like, that is really how we are with our kids, that you kiss them all over and you cuddle them and you hug on them. And, like,
yeah, even Paul Rudd, weren't Paul Rudd's kids, but he did a really good job.
Yeah, but, like, that one scene with Leslie Mann and the younger
little one,
daughter,
yeah,
that I was like, that's
was,
pretty much, like, how I talked. I mean,
but she was asking her,
I guess,
about
I don't talk to her like
how
that,
many kids
but,
she wants to have.
You know, interacting with her kid like that, you know, that is, and, you know, you hear, you've heard, you know, Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann both talk about that, you know, basically, because all this is kind of scenes from a marriage. There is a little bit of an underlying, you know, storyline, I guess, about, you know, their money issues, but really that's not really dealt with in a Hollywood way. It pretty much ends, spoiler alert, with them just going, okay, so we'll sell the house because we don't have the money, you know, like,
right.
It doesn't get a Hollywood ending in as much as, like, it doesn't become, like, and I guess this is me not giving Judd Apatow enough credit, but I kept thinking, like, okay, something's going to happen, and it's going to end up that this record actually ends up being a really big deal, and it saves the day, and, like...
No, but there's hope given, though, with, like, the Ryan Adams thing, and maybe it's not him, but they're like, well,
right.
He's open to, like, succeeding or whatever, and, I don't know, I think that there's at least, you know... They sort of grow a little bit over the course of the film as characters, you know?
No,
like,
they do.
They learn.
Well, I mean, kind of. The moral of the story is, like, oh, it was better when we weren't trying to, like, improve ourselves. When we were just, like, when she got the bee in her bonnet that they had to change everything to live, you know, quote-unquote live better. That sort of, that's when everything started to fall apart. And instead of just living, they were, like, hyper-examining themselves and... You know, going like, we are just going to let everything go and be happier. But then that never worked and stuff. So, I mean, but again, ultimately, and I mean, my hat is off to him that's kind of, instead of going, you know, beginning, middle, end on it so much, it was just kind of like, these are sort of things that happen to people at this age. I mean, even the fact that, I mean, this is all spoilery, but, you know, that she was pregnant was kind of a, you know, that didn't become the story, really.
No.
That was just, like, something else that happened, you know.
Well...
I don't know. It was certainly interesting, but like I said, I mean, the problems... I mean, even...
I felt for them, though, and I cared about them. I cared about what happened to them.
Oh, yeah. You know that I love Melissa McCarthy, but again, that was just enough. It's just starting to get that Judd Apatow movies are just kind of like...
No, but
he's just letting people go because he likes
them. There were too many of those in this movie, but... It's not that you didn't need any of them. And if I was only going to keep a few, I would have kept Melissa McCarthy.
Certainly.
Only because not really the first confrontation scene. That's the setup. The scene where she is in the principal's office is why you do the Judd Apatow improvisational comedy thing. Is because people like Melissa McCarthy can turn that into something. And I'm assuming you watched the bloopers in the closing credits. We did not watch this movie together. Yeah, I don't know. She was so ridiculous in that scene.
Yes, she really is good. And again, I enjoy Judd Apatow movies. I'm not saying... But like I said, I kind of left this movie going, aha, I know the answer. And it is now that you are a multi-million dollar
name...
You know, why don't you go back to TV? Even, you know, go to HBO or something, but where you can really give the ensemble the attention
that
they deserve.
I wouldn't put that past him. I would not be surprised if he does TV one day. I want to talk about John Lithgow and Albert Brooks, who I don't really think their characters were that well written. But I just love those two guys so much, and I liked seeing them on screen. Like,
no,
Albert Brooks' character
was
kind of like outrageously unlikable. But I just really liked those actors so much.
I didn't think he was unlikable.
It was just so he was such a bad guy. He was such a bad idiot father.
I didn't get that at all. He was a mooch, but he wasn't like a terrible man.
I don't know.
I didn't take that. No, I think that in fact I would say that those were. Two story, because then at some point, like, that's the thing. This is a good movie, but it wasn't very focused, because at some point they go, like, oh, all of our problems come from our parents. But, like, they hadn't really given enough
attention
to the parent thing.
No, they only said that for part of the movie.
I know, but that, like, then they start to get into the parent thing, and then they kind of back off from it. Like, you know, like, maybe that should have been the story arc more, was that, you know, if that really was the problem, then looking a little bit more at that.
Well,
as
I think
opposed
that's kind
to
of
what
the,
all that implied, as opposed to just going like, oh, you know, my dad was absent and your dad was taking our money.
But they do that with
and
a couple of...
And that's what's wrong with them, as opposed to like going like, how did that actually
No, but
affect
I think that's
them?
The joke is they do that more than once in the movie, is that they have a moment where they fight and then they stop fighting and they go, oh, wait, we figured it out. And then they try to pursue something else and that doesn't actually solve it either. And I think that's kind of like that's sort of like a running joke in the movie, is that they'll think that they figured out what their problem is, and then they attack that problem, and it doesn't go well. Like, when they confront each other's dads, it doesn't go well.
Right.
You know? And so they didn't really, they thought they had the problem solved, and they didn't. And they do that, like, multiple times throughout the movie, I think.
I will say, Annie Mumolo, I like seeing
Annie
Mumolo
is pretty funny, yeah.
She is funny.
She was. It was a,
kind of her first.
That was probably
scene was
the
really one of the best.
That was probably like one of the raunchier scenes in the movie in terms of just the content of the discussion.
No,
but it was
that
funny.
Was not one of the raunchier scenes at all. There was a lot more raunch than that in the movie.
There was raunch.
That was not raunchy. I don't think at all.
You know what?
Funny.
You might disagree with me on this, but I actually thought, for someone that I've never liked in anything she's ever been in, I thought that Megan Fox kind of did okay. And I kind of liked her character a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the scene with her and Leslie Mann in the car.
Yeah.
After their night out.
It was good.
Like, she's all right. She's being pretty funny here. And like, you know. Yeah, again, really, he just needs to make TV. Because there were two, like these, I mean, I'll give it up to him. I wanted to know more about the characters, but there was like 500 of them. So,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't
even that Megan Fox character. Like, if you think about the percentage of the movie that she's actually in, it's not very much. But like, think about how much we know about that character by the end of the movie.
That's
it's
what I'm
like
saying.
She's got her own big storyline.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, my hat is off to him for introducing a bunch of characters that I'm interested in and want to know more about, but it's just kind of too much.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of kind of like from earlier in the movie. Like, most of the things that I remember about this movie were probably in the second half of it. But, I mean, I really like, I think, the, you know, the sort of, the way that they handle Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann making up after fights. Like, to me, that was very realistic of, like, people who, you know, they were fights that, and I think in a normal movie, that when a couple has a fight, it's, like, over with, and then something big has to happen for them to get back together, and that's the plot of the movie. Mm-hmm. But, like, in this, it's like, well, they're going to fight a bunch of times, and we have to make it to where, like, when they make up after a fight, we make it seem like that wasn't really supposed to be the main conflict of the movie. That's just because they fight sometimes, and then they make up for it, you know. But I don't know. I feel like their discourse, like the way that they dealt with each other, both when they were mad and then when they stopped being mad.
Yeah.
I just thought it was very nuanced, and that's not, I don't think that's, it's hard to know if that was written into it or if that was something that the actors brought to it. But I think their tone with each other, you know, like, I think if you read this as a script, it wouldn't come off quite as well as if you watched those two actors doing that.
Yeah, well, at one point, and this was kind of, I think, after they had a big blow-up, you know, they're mad at each other for a while, and then they sit down on the couch, and I think he says, like, well, should we talk about this? And she's like, you know what, let's just let it go. Like, let's just pretend it didn't happen. Let's just forget
that's
it.
That's such a non-movie thing to do.
But that is
But that's what you have to do, yeah.
And that's sort of what happens in life. Sometimes
yeah.
You have really big fights, and then, you know, you're mad for a while, and then you just go, like, whatever. It's not worth,
right.
Like, fighting about it anymore.
Right.
But I will say, and I feel like maybe you had noted this as well, this was probably the scene that rung the most true, which is two of them are finally, like, getting away with the kids, and they're like, oh, man, they're the worst. They're so obnoxious. They're so selfish. And then, like, they're just ripping their kids and, like, oh, it's so good to want to get away from them. And then they're like, I miss them so much. Should we just go back?
Right.
I don't know about you, but I almost always have that moment if we're ever like going
to
be away from the kids.
Our kids might listen to this podcast one day, Francesca.
No, I'm saying I have that moment of even when we're really mad at them, if I'm away from them for too long, I'm like immediately like, I just want to go back and see them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, goodness, if Ennio naps for too long, I'm like, don't know what to do with my hands after a while. I'm like, why is he napping for 3 hours? What do I do now?
I've been gone.
I don't know what to do.
As we record this, I have just gotten back from being away from them for an entire week, and I miss them so much. But also, I've only been back for like 24 hours, and I have already been at least a little bit annoyed with each of them once. But I don't really care. That's just part of it. You get, you know, it's like the weird dichotomy of children is that you, you know, they annoy you.
By the way, our children are not going to listen to this. They will not. They will
on
not
their embedded
be
on
in
their
this.
Embedded podcast feeds in their heads one day.
Oh no, they will not be interested in what their parents were doing when they were children.
Probably not. But they're like, yeah, I agree with you. I think that they, even though I think we both agree that it's not the greatest child actors in the world, like you could also see on this how, like, especially the older girl, she's a terror and she's ridiculous sometimes. But also, like, they're kids, you can't help but be keep getting drawn back to kids because they're so smart, and they, you know, they kind of are, I don't know, it's that helpless thing. It's that you just, like, they make a big mistake and they make you angry, and then they look at you with their little dumb face and they
don't
know.
Oh, Matt, now they're not dumb faces.
They're not dumb.
The best faces
no, they're
the
not
world.
Dumb, but it's like they don't.
You're the worst. Don't you
mean,
take this off of the podcast either.
What I meant by that, what I meant by that is that they, like, there's no pretense to it. Like, it's like after a kid makes you mad, it's not like when an adult makes you mad and you're both, like, trying to hold your ground and be in a fight. It's just like they immediately come back to you like nothing happened, basically.
I really enjoyed the scene where they had confiscated her iPad and they were looking at her Facebook page.
Yes.
And they were reading it out and they were like, oh my God,
he's
awful.
And they were really impressed with what she was saying
to
him.
She was really, like, she dealt with that really well.
That was great.
And then there's a picture of a panda doing a push-up and he's like, what does that mean?
I don't know. It's just funny. It's just
really
cool.
Really cute and funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny thing to say.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do. Because I feel like if I had an opportunity to read my kid's Facebook page, I would totally do it.
Yeah, well, but I thought that was nice. And I also thought, and this was funny to me, because it was absolutely apropos to nothing. It was just at the beginning when I guess they were establishing the characters that the older girl, Maud, but her name was Sadie in the movie,
mm-hmm.
is like freaking out in her closet and like pulling down
yeah,
all
that
her
was funny.
Going, like, there's nothing to wear! Nothing!
She was so upset. Out of, like, it was just way overreaction.
Yeah, and she was like, fell to her knees and was like doing this like primal scream in her closet, and like, no, that was it. That was, like, nobody responded to it or anything.
I thought
she was just yelling like.
I thought that the lost.
And everybody ignored her.
I thought that the lost thing was going to be just kind of a silly cultural reference, but you know what? They actually made pretty good use of. And you know how I feel about Lost. I'm not in love with it in general, and I kind of resent a lot of things about it. And I like their speech about how that stupid nerd J.J. Abrams is ruining our daughter. But
I also like that.
I like
whatever. It's not as dumb as Mad Men and some people smoking in an office. And he's like, no, John Draper. I'm not going to get pulled into this conversation.
But I like that they use that as like kind of like a theme about their family. Is that like. They all, that she sort of tells her grandfather then, like, they all help each other achieve their destiny.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was a little, I didn't really know what he was doing with that. And then, but then it became
like a little
tea cat.
No, that's like, what he was using it for, I think.
At the end.
I'm okay
go, like,
with it.
They're helping each other achieve their destiny. But I did think it was the best show you could use to have a kid be, like, addicted to.
Yes.
And, like, want to watch 5,000 episodes of.
A kid would pick up on themes like that on that show, I think.
Yeah.
It was good. It was
a
good use of Lost.
It did make me laugh, too, because she's, like, sobbing, and her dad's like, whatever, take a shower, we have a party. Like, that she's, like, having this
real. We can't do this right now, yeah.
Yeah, this is, like, serious, deep emotional attachment to television characters, and she's just watched the finale, and, like, her dad doesn't care. But I think we've all been there, where she was, too, that you're like, well, don't you understand what just happened? And then someone else comes through and is like, what are you talking about, you idiot? No, shut up. I feel like you've probably done that with me watching things before and crying like a little tiny girl.
Well, you do get through some TV shows sometimes.
Me? What are you talking about?
The cat is attacking Francesca right now.
She likes to knead my doughy center.
Weird thing to put on a podcast.
Well, people should know. You may suspect from the dulcet tones of my voice that it's all washboard central, but it ain't, kids, it ain't.
I'm not surprised that This Is 40 didn't get like a bunch of buzz or anything, because I agree with you that it's kind of all over the place and it isn't quite focused.
Ew, the cat just like drooled all over me. Gross.
But I do really like things about it and individual scenes, and I kind of, you know, it's one of those movies where I feel like Judd Apatow is becoming, he's having a very defined style, you know, kind of like a Woody Allen or a Albert Brooks sort of thing. And I think this fits in well with his, you know, his filmography. It will, when you go back and look at all of the movies he did at the end, I think you will,
and
it will fit well.
I do love Leslie Mann. I wish she'd
do
more
stuff.
I
think she's
great.
And she doesn't really do anything worth taking seriously, though, outside of her husband's movies. Like, she does kind of those dumb, like, oh, me
and
my buddy switch bodies.
But this is my point, is that not many people write comedy that has humanity, too. And he does, and he certainly, you know, writes for her and to her strength. And obviously, I think, you know, he kind of indicated that this movie was sort of written by the committee of the two of them. And
yeah.
So I think, you know, it's as much she's putting the words in her mouth as he is that are, you know, things that she can say with conviction and, you know, what is happening? Oh my goodness.
You got to play through that.
Really?
Yeah.
This is like a 30-pound cat who's mauling me with love. Mauling me with love. But, so, I mean, I think it's probably, you know, they are raising children, and I think he probably, you know, she's probably a little bit of a muse for him. Because actually, even though Funny People was not that good, I always think about that scene with her when Adam Sandler comes and is like, I love you, and she's like, how can you do this to me? Like, why, how can you come into my life and say this now and everything? I just thought,
right,
like, though there were many, many things wrong with that movie, that scene always stuck with me as just this, like, wow, like, that's a really, like, feels like it's really, like, getting to the nub of something.
Yeah.
That scene, and she killed it.
Eric Bana was really good in that movie.
That's right.
The only other thing I would say about this movie is I really like it a lot, and I feel like it speaks to older married people, but I also wouldn't recommend it to anybody that I know that's like my parents' generation because it's so R-rated.
Yeah.
That's just me. I mean, some people, I'm probably underestimating older people's sensibilities, but I feel like this would put off people from the older generation from us just because of the vulgarity.
Yeah.
But it doesn't for me. I mean, it works for me. And I think it's...
Well, and, you know, I kind of...
I didn't feel like any of it was, like, completely unnecessary and didn't do anything.
I feel like that's probably Judd Apatow's, you know, stand-up comedian past, you know, kind of thing. That I wish he didn't feel the need to put so much vulgarity in all of his movies because...
A lot of it's funny, though.
I think a lot of it is funny, but a lot of it is, you know, gross, you know, to, like, thinking that grossness is funny, which I don't, you know, that's not really, that sort of, like, I feel like it's going to be real hard for him to get taken as seriously as perhaps he ought to be, really, because of, you know, the amount of crassness that he puts in his films.
Crass. That's such a, like... It's such like a word that our teachers would use when we were in fourth grade.
It is a perfectly valid and good word, and I will not back down from it. But, you know, I mean, I think probably, I'm going to read into his psychology now, I think he maybe feels like he has to undercut sincerity with some of these stand-up sensibilities. And
yeah,
like,
you're
but
saying...
But look, I'm still one of you guys,
yeah,
instead of just going for, you
keeps
know,
him from looking soft if he does that, you think?
I think maybe,
yeah,
to some extent. Which, you know, he does soft really well, and maybe he should just embrace it, you know?
Sure.
Instead of...
Interesting take.
Well, you know. At this point, now that we know he's, you know, quite capable and competent at doing pathos, it feels a little bit like maybe he's still doing it for the benefit of the people who he admires or doesn't want to be seen as, like, uncool in front of.
Interesting. Interesting read. All right, well, that's all I've got. You have anything else?
No. I enjoyed it, but yes, I don't recommend it for our parents.
Right, but people our age, go for it.
If you want. It's hard to say if people, non-married people, wouldn't just find it.
Yeah, I'm curious about that too, of people our age that have never been married would get as much out of it, but I don't know.
Well, I will say, certainly if nothing else, many of their fights rang pretty true.
Yeah.
So, if you're about to get married, maybe don't see this film.
Oh, you think? Don't see it?
Maybe.
It'd be educational?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe don't see it until you've been married for a while.
All right. Well, you continue your love fest with the cat there. And
I want to continue my love fest with my pillow. That's what I want to do. I'm tired.
All righty, then.
You made me do this against my will.
Yep. Thank you for doing it, though.
Whatever.